One more time, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. How many of you are awake this morning? Not very many people are awake this morning. Well, I usually don't eat before I preach, but I did a while ago, and I tend to get sleepy when I eat, so if I fall asleep during the sermon, you might wake me up. Glad you're here worshiping with us. We had a busy weekend. Yesterday, we had Youth Encounter and FCA combined. We were down a little bit because of all the games and remake games, but I've still had about 40 people, so that was good. And then Friday night, we hung out with Alan Robertson. How many of you have ever heard of Duck Dynasty? Well, I remember a couple things that he said. He said, "I know when I'm in the presence of a bunch of rednecks." And he said, "You guys are a bunch of rednecks." Of course, we all said amen. We know that, but we are. He also said, "I also know that you don't have anything to do with Chicago." And we said, "Yeah, amen to that too." But about 1,300 men gathered over at Oil Belt Christian Service Camp. And you guys, most of you guys, got to go in the evening, but I thought the morning was better, actually. But Alan did a good job, great testimony about what God has done in his life, and we had a good time out there. 1,300 men, that's a bunch of men, but we had a good time. Does anybody know what tomorrow is? Happy Mother's Day? Oh, happy Valentine's Day. So in advance, happy Valentine's Day to you. And if you have not got your Valentine's gift for your spouse, you need to hurry up and get over to Dollar General. Not during a sermon, but you need to get over there and get that done and buy your spouse something nice. Hey, I got to tell you something. I got mine Wednesday. Everybody say, really? I got Ching her Valentine's Day on Wednesday. Is she wearing it today? Ching, are you wearing it? She's wearing it. It's an opal birthstone ring, and it's pretty, and she thought I had good taste. So, but anyway, we're all good. Well, today I want to talk to you about love. How many of you know about love? How many of you have ever been in love before? Go ahead and raise your hand. Be careful because your spouse is sitting right next to you. So you better be careful. Raise your hand up high. And if you got sore ribs by the time the sermon's over, I know that you answered wrongly. But I want to talk about love this morning, rekindling your love, especially your love for the church. And I think we need to do that from time to time. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to Revelation chapter 2. We just started a study in Revelation on Wednesday night. I didn't know how it was going to go, but I thought that Wednesday went pretty good, really, as we dove in to the book of Revelation, and it's going to be good for the next few weeks. So if you didn't come last week, you can still come this week. We have a good time together. While you're turning to Revelation chapter 2, let me tell you about love and what some kids thought about love. Little Carl, age 5, says about love, "Love is when a girl puts perfume on and a boy puts cologne on and they walk around school smelling each other all day." Chrissy, age 6, says, "Love is when you go out to eat with your boyfriend and you give him most of your fries without asking any of his." Noel, age 7, says, "Love is when you tell a guy that you like his shirt and he wears the same shirt for the rest of the school year." Glenn, age 7, says, "Talking about love gives me a headache. I'm just a kid. I'm having trouble in school right now." Regina, age 9, says, "I'm not rushing into love. I'm thinking the fourth grade's hard enough for me." David, age 9, says, "You don't have to find love. Love will find you. I've been hiding from love since I was 5 years old, and the girls keep finding me." And I like this one. Manuel, age 8, says, "True love is when you get shot with a bullet or an arrow, and you don't even feel anything." I thought that was good. Well, I don't know about that, but I'm sure that none of us have complete love all figured out like Christ's love that he shared for us on the cross when he died for us, John 3:16. But John also has to say a lot about love in Revelation chapter 2. And I want to read down to verse 7 if you got your Bibles open there. Jesus, writing through the Apostle John, says, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand and walks among the 7 golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them to be false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, who also I hate. He who has an ear, what? Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give you the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And all God's people said. Revelation chapter 2, Jesus is talking to the seven churches scattered throughout Asia Minor. One minute he is complimenting them, and the next minute he is getting on to them. Now you need to remember something. The early church is persecuted. Now we think we're undergoing persecution today. I want you to know we're not undergoing any kind of persecution compared to the early church. I want you to know that today. They were undergoing a lot. Many of them had left the faith because of persecutions. But Jesus says, hang in there. I'm going to encourage you, but I'm also going to rebuke you. And we'll get into it in just a second. If you have your bulletins, pull them out. Because I believe there is three movements that are relevant throughout this passage of Scripture. And the first one is this. Write it down. We need to recognize when things are going right. Jesus says in verses 2 and 3, I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them to be false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Jesus spends time in verses 2 and 3 recognizing all the things that they had done. Their hard work, their labor, the endurance in the midst of persecutions. The fact that they had tested the apostles and then the preachers and the teachers. And they knew who were false and who were not false because they were men and women of the word. Their faith had to accompany their works. We just talked about that in James, how faith without works is dead. And these people were doing that. They were working hard in the church. They were doing what they're supposed to be doing. At one time, Ephesus was one of the strongest churches in Asia Minor. They toiled. They sweat. They persevered. Describes a lot of churches today. They start out strong, persevering. They're on fire. They're burning for the Lord. And hard times and hard people come their way. And what happens? They want to throw in the towel and quit. I know I had a friend at Champ quit the church one time. And I asked him, I said, why'd you quit? He said, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I said, well, you didn't quit Champ. They have hard times there too. Why'd you quit Champ? Oh, I need the money. Well, I said, you also need the church. You need the Lord. And I don't know if it was that speech that I shared with him that caused him to go back to church, but to my knowledge, today he's still in the church. Friends, you're going to have hard times in the church. Can I get an amen? You're going to have hard times in your family. You're going to have hard times at work. That is no reason to quit and throw in the towel. Don't be a quitter. Keep on working. Stay busy. If you get tired of doing one thing, do something else. Keep going to church. Keep being involved. Keep inviting people. Keep going in the midst of hardships, difficult situations, difficult people. Don't quit. I want you to know that Central Christian Church is not perfect. Can I get an amen? Amen. I want you to know that New Hope Christian Church is not perfect. Lancaster Church of Christ is not perfect. Parkview Christian Church is not perfect. There are no perfect churches because if there were, none of us could belong to a perfect church. Jesus says he's come to call the sick. That's all of us. We're all sick. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We need the church and the church needs us. I also want you to know that Satan is very much alive and well today. He is very much doing what he can to wreak havoc in the church. And I've seen churches close and I've seen people walk away from the church because they couldn't handle the turbulence and the hard times and the tribulation. I want you to know that's the devil. That's the devil. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to write this down. I want you to pray specifically for Central Christian Church. How many of you can do that? I want you to pray, not generally, I want you to pray specifically for Central Christian Church. Don't just pray for the church. Pray for me, the elders, the deacons of this church. Pray for the leadership of this church. I also want you to pray that God will put a hedge of protection around us. Is that a good prayer? Hedge of protection. Because I want you to know that Satan is going to do everything in his power to divide this church, to divide that church and that church and that church and that church. And I've seen the power that he has, but I want you to know that there is power in prayer. I want you to pray specifically. Church experts say today that 7,000 churches close their doors every year across America. Well, some are optimistic and they say, well, 4,000 more open their churches. Well, do the math. There's 3,000 more coming out of that. And 3,000 more churches will close than have been opened. Why? That's the devil. That's the devil. And some people will get mad at what we believe, which is the Bible. Can I get an amen? We believe the Bible. And not everybody's going to abide by that. They're going to take the Bible and twist it around into their own and make it into what they want it to be. I'm not sure. I know the Jehovah's Witness used to have a... It's not a church, by the way. It's an organization. Is it closed down here? Under construction. Are they closing? Okay, I want them to close. Is that wrong for me to say that? I want you to know something. I don't care if they're listening or not. That is not a church. They don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe there's a hell. They believe there's only 144,000 people going to heaven. They believe all that is not a church. That is a cult. And you know what? I think it's high time for churches to stand up and say what's cultic and what's not. No amens? What's cultic and what's not? What does the Bible say about Jesus Christ? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you know what? When I read my Bible, Jesus talks a lot about hell. And when I read Revelation and how John says, I looked and I saw multitudes and multitudes of people, people I couldn't even count. Does that sound like 144,000 to you? That is a represented number. That is not a literal number. Friends, I want you to know, I think it's high time that we stood up for the truth. I think it's high time that we stopped listening to wishy-washy teachers and preachers and we started getting back to the Word of God. I believe that. In James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, James says this, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking in anything. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Have you faced trials of many kinds in your life today? He says, when you do, consider it pure joy. I have a hard time with that. I don't like being joyful when I'm hurting. Anyone else? And this is one of the hardest passages of Scripture. But this is what Jesus is saying here. Even in the midst of trials, stick to the fight. Don't quit. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. And if you're involved in sin, can I just say something? Stop. Please stop it. Because it's keeping you from becoming the person that God wants you to be. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves or anything that you've done. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I have found that the best thing that you can do is to recognize the things you used to do and get back to doing those. Number two, the second movement I see from Revelation 2 is this. We must be rebuked when we forsake our first love. What is our first love? Christ. And that word agape is the deepest type of love that you can find. It is a godly love. Agape. Write it down. Agape. Now there's There's some other types of love. There's a philia, which comes from Philadelphia, the brother of, that's what Philadelphia is named from, philo or philio, which means brotherly love. There's eros, which is a sexual type of love. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. But the highest love that you can have is an agape love, a godly type of love. And Jesus is saying this here. He says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Well, what does it mean to forsake your first love? And what are some evidences of forsaking your first love? Write it down. It's going through the motions. I've been going to church for 56 years. Everybody say, big deal. Well, it's a big deal to me. But I want you to know something. If you're not careful, I don't care how long you've been going to church, you can go through the motions of going to church if you're not careful. Anybody agree with that? We must be very careful not to just go through the motions. Sing a few songs, partake of the Lord's Supper, listen to a little preaching, even if it soaks in, or if it don't soak in, go home, do the same thing next week, and the next week, and the next week, and the next week. By the way, I enjoyed the Lord's Supper more today because we had some good bread and good juice. Amen? Anybody like the new communion bread and juice? Well, don't get in the habit of it. Friends, I want you to know, it's easy to just go through the motions. It's easy to come to church and go home and do the same thing 52 weeks out of the year and say, yeah, I did it. It's not what church is all about. Yes, it's about coming to sing songs. Yes, it's coming to break the Lord's Supper together. Yes, it's about listening to the Lord's message being preached from the pulpit. But I want you to know, more than anything, it's about being in love with God. It's the most important thing. It's not on your outlines, but I want you to write it down. Matthew 22:37. The Pharisees were once again trying to trap Jesus, and they asked him this question. Jesus, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Without hesitation, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You see, the Pharisees had gotten caught up in tradition. They were dressed in the highest attire. They had bells so people could hear them coming. They stood on the court on the corners and they judged people's presence and their prayer life. They had everything judgment going on with the Israelite people. And it's like they couldn't even hardly walk without the Pharisees seeing them. They had come up with, I'm not sure on the number, I don't think anybody is, like 400 man-made laws through the Pharisees. And one of them was you couldn't hang your clothes out of line on the Sabbath day. I got to thinking about that. I wonder how many traditions we have in our church today. How many times that we get caught up on traditions. If you don't think we do, try moving the furniture around in church. Try switching the communion time to the last of the service instead of the middle of the service. Try having the sermon preached first and not last. You guys stop laughing. Even the pulpit has a lot of tradition. I don't know what you had before, but it's probably around here somewhere. Because somebody paid big money for that pulpit. We got to store it somewhere. Where's that at? Anybody know? Is it hiding? Did you get rid of it? Huh? It's up top. It's still here. I was reading about a guy that got fired. He had the pulpit was on that side of the stage, and he moved it over there one Sunday, and they fired him. And the next guy they hired in there, he started moving the pulpit too. And he got it over to the other side of the stage. And at one of the revivals, the old preacher that had gotten fired, he said, how'd you do that? He said, because when I moved the pulpit from there to there, I got fired. And the preacher said, I moved it 1 inch a week. And after a year, the people didn't even realize that I'd moved it across there. That could have been a true story. Friends, I want you to know that we need to be careful. We need to decipher what's the church building and what's the church. Because there's a difference between the church building and the church. And I am grateful more than anyone else for all those men and women that have given their all so that we can be in this beautiful building today. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the gymnasium over here. Even though I'm too old to be over there, I still try. Try is a key word. No amens, Austin. No amens. But you know what? We need to be careful. Because the people are the church. And I say this, and I always will, till the day I die. We could be out there in that tree that's about ready to fall down. We could be worshiping the Lord out there, and that becomes the church. This is just a church building. I do think we ought to keep it nice. It's a place we come to worship, and when we enter this place, it is a sacred place. And we need to keep it nice and clean, and we need to respect God's place of worship. But that's not the church. And it's definitely not God. We must love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and love each other second to that. Well, rebuking. How many of you like to be rebuked? I don't. And when you rebuke somebody, they say stuff like this: "You can't rebuke me. I've been attending this church for 70 years. You can't rebuke me. I've been a Christian for 50 years. You can't rebuke me, or you can't tell me to change, because this is the way I am, and this is the way I'm always going to be." You don't know how many times I've heard that. And here are the seven last words of a dying church. Write them down. We've never done it that way before. I appreciate our elders' meetings, because we get together and we try to come up with ways to get the church to grow. We brainstorm and we bounce ideas off each other, and I do it with some of the other people. Well, what can we do? What can we do? How can we go forward? How can we grow? How can we get more people involved? That's brainstorming. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Some ideas are great and some ideas are not great, but if at first you don't succeed, try again. Let's never be guilty of those seven last words, "We've never done it that way before," because times change, right? But here's the thing, the message of Christ never changes. Our traditions change, our pews may turn into seats someday. You know, a gymnasium 50 years ago, our founding father said, "Oh, you can't have a gymnasium in the church." How many of you know what I'm talking about? But you know what? If it brings somebody to Christ, amen. If it brings somebody to Christ. Let me ask you before we move on to the next point. Why did you come to church today? Because you weren't doing anything else? Why'd you come? Some people didn't come to church today because Super Bowl's tonight. And they want to be rested up when the Los Angeles Rams beat the Cincinnati Bengals 24-10. I don't know. I've always heard some people don't come to church because there's two drops of rain on the sidewalk. How many of you ever heard that before? Hopefully you came today because you're in love with Jesus Christ. How many of you are in love with Jesus Christ? I want you to raise your hands. How many of you are in love with Jesus Christ? That's the reason you're here today. It's great that you're hearing me share God's word. It's great that you broke the Lord's Supper. It's great that you sang some songs. I know a lot of traditional songs were sung today, so you older people can say, amen. And I got to thinking, I've been singing these songs for 56 years. But they're still good. Hebrews 12:7 says, "Endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them for that. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at times, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who are trained by it." All the years I lived under my dad's roof, we were going to go to church. My dad had a drug problem. He drug us to church. And you know what? There are days I did not want to go. Anyone else? You could not fake it with my dad. He could see right through fake stuff. You could say, I'm sick. Are you dying? Get up. Put your clothes on. We're going to bed. We're going to church. One day I had muscle spasms. Anybody ever had muscle spasms? My whole body went like this. And he said, yeah, I think maybe he's sick today. And I didn't have to go to church that Sunday. But my dad drug me to church. And as I look back over those years, I'm glad he drug me to church. Because here's the deal. Zachary, Grace, and Macy will tell you the same thing. I'm going to drag my kids to church. Now, I don't repeat this, but I forgot to pick up Macy today. And I got to church, and Ching said, you bring Macy? I said, no. So Zachary had to go back and get her. So there's a reason we have three or four cars. But I want you to know, I'm going to drag my kids to church. And I hope that 20, 30 years from now, they say this. I'm glad my dad dragged me to church because I'm going to drag my kids to church. Amen? And as long as they put their feet underneath my table, they're going to be on church in the Lord's day. Well, there's a third movement I want to see from Revelation chapter 2, and it's this. Jesus offers a remedy for rekindling our love for Him. Verse 5, He says, remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I'll come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. One of the methods that counselors, marriage counselors, use when they're counseling couples to rekindle that love is they go back to when they were dating. How many of you remember your dating day? They go back. They go back to their wedding. And as soon as you mention their wedding, they start smiling because they remember how beautiful that day was and what that day entailed, all the fun they had. They tell them to remember back. That's actually the first word on letter A there. We need to remember. And I think it's beneficial. I think they are right for doing that. We need to remember back to the people we were. The people we used to be. When we first became Christians. I remember when I was first baptized. 1977. Yeah, long time ago. Didn't Elvis die then? Somewhere along there. Don't associate me with him. I can sing like him, by the way, and I will for you sometime. But I remember that day that I became a Christian on Monday morning at Lancaster School. Wasn't a Christian school then, but that morning on Monday, I was going to save the world. Anybody remember that? I was telling all my friends and non-friends about Jesus Christ because I had a fire burning inside of my belly. I like what Wayne Smith has to say. He says, when that fire in your belly goes out, then you're in deep trouble. And I want you to know today that as baptized believers in Jesus Christ, we need to have a fire inside of our belly. And I remember those days that I wanted to save the world. Did I save them all? No. Did I try? Yeah. But here's something that I need to repent of, and probably you do too. I don't share the good news enough. Anyone else? There are days that I've had opportunities to share the good news of Jesus, and I wasn't sure what they thought about what I was going to say. And who says we always got to worry about what people think of us? Here's the deal. Remember this. Don't worry about what people think of you. Worry about what God thinks of you. And we need to remember that. I believe there are a number of things that keep people from remembering. I think we get distracted with life. Anyone else? We get distracted, our busy schedules and the workload, and it seems like your employers want all they can get out of you. Hey, can you work over? Oh, yeah. Can you work over tomorrow? Yeah. How about the rest of the month? Can you work over? Yeah, I'll do that. Because I know how big that paycheck's going to be when it comes due. I have a friend. He says, I'm tired of all that stuff. He said, I know there are days I have to work Saturday, but when I don't have to work, I'm not going to. Because I want to spend it with my family. And I respect that. Learn to say no. There's some other things that distract us from remembering. I believe it's because of people hurting us. I want you to know today that if you haven't got hurt, you're going to get hurt. It's just a matter of time. And you can quit. You can give up. You can throw in the towel. Or you can buckle up your strings of your shoes and you can move forward. There's some other things that keep us from remembering. Laziness, weariness. You ever been weary, tired, feel like quitting? Maybe it's your job, maybe it's a relationship. Sometimes I feel like quitting America, don't you? But there is no better place to live in America, so I just keep on going. Maybe it's sin in your life. that's keeping you from becoming the person you know you're supposed to be. We need to remember. And then B, it goes right along with that. We need to repent. Repent and get back to the game that you were playing when you realized that, hey, I'm in this thing for the long haul. I'm in it until Christ comes back or I die. Repent and get back on track. Maybe that repentance involves getting back to church, getting back to worship, getting back involved in the church, and not just going home, actually asking, hey, is there anything I can do? Maybe it involves teaching, preaching, singing a song, helping Linda upstairs. Amen, Linda? And Bill. You know, we didn't have a PA system last night. I think Bill fixed it. You fix it, Bill? Wouldn't you be glad to have somebody help you do that? So we can train the next generation, because in 30 years, most of us aren't going to be here. Here it is. Maybe it's getting rid of some filthy TV shows, filthy magazines, filthy music that you listen to. Maybe it's time you delete them from your podcast or throw the CDs in the trash. Maybe it entails finding new friends, finding new places that you can go that the devil don't reside in. Repent. Get back to doing the things you used to do when you were happy and bubbly and encouraged. We need to repent and return. And then the C stands for return. Return back to the way you used to be. I want you to know there are a lot of things that we can't take back in life. How many of you would pay thousands of dollars if you could take back some of the things you did in the past? Thousands, maybe millions of dollars. I want you to know today you can't go back. But you can move forward. You can repent of those old ways and stop doing them. A lot of people, when they think of repentance, they think of a 360. But you know what? Repentance means to do a 180. To stop doing those things that you used to do. When you become a Christian, the Bible says you're supposed to put the old things away and put on the new things. A lot of people never do that. They just get boiled in what they've always done, and they keep on doing the same old thing that they used to do in the past, and they get the same old results. A few years ago, a Christian friend of mine, I'll close with this, she came to me and she said, "Carson, I miss you." I said, "I miss you too." And she said, "No, I don't miss seeing you. I miss seeing you the person that used to be." And I said, What are you talking about? I miss seeing that Carson that was bubbly and always excited and smiling all the time. And I know you're going through some hard times in the church right now. She said, "But I miss that Carson." And you know what kind of hurt me? Because I knew that some things that were going on in the church had made me discouraged, had made me downhearted, and it caused the devil to steal my joy. Have you been there before? Say amen. I just wanted to go back and be the Carson I used to be. Friends, I want you to know that you can become the person you used to be. You can remember and repent and return to that person that used to be bubbly and on fire for the Lord, that person that used to have a fire in their belly. That person, you can get them back. You may have to make some changes in your life, but you can get that person back. Galatians 4:10 says, "Humble yourself before the Lord." Everybody put your hands up. And He'll lift you up. It is not easy to humble yourself before the Lord. It is not easy to walk down the aisle and say, "I know I messed up. I messed up big time. And I need repentance. And I need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of a living God. And I need to go back to the way I used to be. I need to return to that spiritual person, that bubbly, on fire person for Christ." Some of you need that this morning. It begins right here. Won't you come as we stand and sing this morning?